Because it's the only way to get better from here. It is the only way. It is the only path to getting better.
You know, that's completely true. And you look at tonight, we had a couple more injuries, you know, but when you have freshmen playing that many steps, our freshmen are better than the freshmen that are playing at other places, but they're playing a third of the snaps that ours might be. So, yeah, they're going to wear down and they're going to have injuries towards the end of the year, and we're having to rely on those guys to win games. And look, Vanderbilt is bad. They're bad. But they're still college football players. And we're playing with freshmen just out of high school. You know, I don't mean to carry water for the staff. I know that they've got some growing to do. As our roster gets better, they also need to get better.
No doubt.
But there's no reason to be negative about winning one more game than we did last year. And going to a bowl. And we're going to compete for the East next year, but it's going to be ugly. No one should expect us to just walk through games next year. We're going to have to win like we won tonight. It's going to be some ugly games. And you bring me, you know, you take a Missouri, you bring me Missouri style of winning next year, and that will be all right with me.
You better believe it. You know what I like about Missouri? Missouri, when you look up at that scoreboard at the end of the game, their number's bigger than yours. And that's really the only number that counts. They've done that to a lot of teams this year where people look up at the end of the scoreboard and go, man, Arkansas yesterday probably going, you know, we outplayed. No, actually you didn't. See, that's what the scoreboard says. Because they beat you in all three facets. Missouri is a sound team. The thing I like about what we've done this year, the biggest step we've taken, and Bino touched on it earlier, is in the special teams. We decisively won the special teams tonight, and that's why we won the game.
And we're much better defensively.
Much better. And we'll get, next year, we will be much better defensively.
You know, guys, we really should take a lot of solace from what we've been able to see Missouri do, because really, Butch Jones is kind of using Pinkel's blueprint. If you look, I mean, they run a spread finesse type offense. They've got excellent defensive linemen. They're not in the most fertile of recruiting grounds either. So, you know, there's an example that you can win on this side of the league doing that type thing.
Amen. Don't you think that's an excellent comment by him over in Asheville?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. You made a comment earlier about being sort of compared to Oregon. Oregon's not recruiting the defensive linemen that we're recruiting. Our model that we're looking at is more of a Missouri model, and that's fine for right now. And you know what? In 4 years, we may look at this and say it's not going the right direction. And I'm talking 4 years from now, not 2 years from now. But for right now, for where we are, this is the exact direction we need to be going in. Coach Jones has saw the deficiencies on both lines. He's recruiting to that. And I, for one, am willing to give him a chance to grow as a coach as the roster gets better. I appreciate you taking my call. I know you got a lot of callers. I listen to you all the time. First-time caller in tonight. But, again, I appreciate it. Very happy.
Hey, really honored.
And I'll listen to you guys.
Hey, really, really honored.
Thanks
for
the call. Really appreciate
it. Thank you, brother. Over in beautiful Asheville. It's a beautiful place. 865-200-5402. Alabama trying to come back now, and a ball sails. Interception. Auburn now making hay. Has the ball at Auburn's at Alabama's 43-yard line. And Auburn now trying to tackle on some more, up 23-21. But you know, it breaks my heart. It's going to rip my heart out if Auburn loses this game. I mean, if Alabama loses this game tonight.
Oh, there's no question. I may admit myself to the hospital. Let's see. The brilliant Kirby Smart.
Yes.
Had one thrown over their head with 54 seconds left.
Yes.
An 80-yard touchdown pass.
Yes. Now he's a gem.
And now they've thrown a pick.
Okay. And they're both making over $1 million. And they're, guess what they are? Glorified PE teachers. You know? Uh-oh, a little trick. Raising my bumping! High school football! High school football! Down to the 1 yard line! Some high school football from Nick Gusmouse on!
Punch it in there.
Nick Saban, his hiney hole is gonna look like, Bino, that Rust-Oleum red thing that Brian Beam used to drive around in circa 1997. I mean, there's going to be Bondo on his rectum when this is done.
Like Andy Griffith told Barney, that vein's sticking out in your neck again.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. Please punch it in. 5 seconds left. Get a timeout. Now they're going to be set. Settle for a field goal, Beano. Is that what you do here, or throw one in the end zone?
Well, if you throw, it's got to be quick. And I don't think they will. I believe they'll kick the field goal.
That made Malzahn sick. He's hot. He is hot. Alabama has a Gus Malzahn problem right now, as Sports Illustrated just said on Twitter. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. As I remind you tonight, Smart Way, your everything for home store where you're going to pay your way, located at 8416 Kingston Pike, and more locations coming across the state of Tennessee. Smart Way is... the way it works is it wouldn't matter what you're hunting for your home, whether it's appliances or furniture or electronics. They even have tires for your car, cell phones, you name it. But they're offering products in a way that you have literally never seen before at Smart Way. And the way it works at Smart Way is you can walk in, pay in full, walk out, get the low price, and away you go. Or you can go 120 days same as cash, pay the cash price in the first 120 days or 6 months, and own it, and walk out the door, and you're ready to roll. Or you choose your frequency and the amount that you want to pay and how often you want to pay it, and you can change it up anytime you want to. You can change it up anytime you want to. So if you want to keep it status quo like we've done on the offensive line, or you want to maybe insert Kendrick in there and change your plan, you can do that at Smart Way. That's why we say pay your way. Professor Smarty knows what he's talking about. The best part of all on-time lease payments earn 2% in-store cash credit that can be used anytime for what you want, when you want it, at Smart Way. Back to the phones we go. Here on your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. Tonight we're watching Nick Saban implode. I think he's growing some more hair, though, over there, Beano, on the sidelines, which is a good thing for him. Auburn is about to take a 5-point lead into halftime, and let's go back to our phones. Hello and welcome.
Basilio and Beano, many happy returns from Music City, USA, where the Hancock family has returned triumphant from Neyland Stadium West. How are you guys doing tonight?
B.O.B., what was the atmosphere like in there tonight as Tennessee took over that stadium?
Guys, I'll tell you, I was a little surprised by the lack of enthusiasm out of the Vandy crowd and by how much orange I saw in that stadium. I thought, based on what I was seeing at tailgates, it was going to be 65-35 split. Orange to gold, and I've got to tell you, it was closer to 80-20. It was very impressive how the Tennessee faithful showed up tonight to put their balls on to bowl eligibility, and it was an exciting win. And guys, I'll tell you what, give Butch Jones credit, because this year he avoided the unforgivable sin. We do not lose to Vandy, and I don't care if we win by 1 or 100. It doesn't matter. I'll take that win all day
long. You damn straight. The world is now – you talk about the new world order, well, brother, the old world order is Vanderbilt does not walk off the field victorious with Tennessee.
Two absolutely great things happened tonight, B.O.B. We're bowl eligible, and we avoided what, without question, would have been one of the top five most embarrassing defeats in my lifetime as a Tennessee fan.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Here's what the callers who probably weren't at that game, with all due respect to them, because not everybody can make it, can't fathom and understand, but I'm sure you guys can, being objective, looking from the outside. Vandy, for the first time in a long time, actually believes, guys. You got to remember, James Franklin brought more than just wins to them. He brought them belief. And Vandy believed they could beat Tennessee, regardless of how crummy they were this year. And so for Tennessee to go in there and play really not a great game, let's be honest, it was not a great game with the exception of special teams, and come out of there with a win, I'm tickled to death. It's rivalry week, guys. Look what happened at Oxford. Look what happened in Athens. Look what almost happened in Tallahassee. You will take this win, and look what's getting ready to happen potentially in Tuscaloosa. You will take this win on rivalry week, and I don't care what the score looks like. When you beat your in-state rival on the weekend when this game is supposed to be played, I'll take it all day.
And you are so right. Let's keep this game on Thanksgiving weekend where it belongs. You are speaking 100% of the truth. And what I like about this program is we get folks like you that are in that car afterwards. And, brother, you're juiced up right now. You're jacked up about that game.
Tony, we took the whole family tonight. This wasn't like mom and daddy and call the babysitter or take my oldest son with me. This was all five of us. We had the tickets. We sat in the Tennessee section. We got there early. We stayed till it was over. And I don't know if you could appreciate it on TV, Tony. I've never heard a crowd chant more and as loud as I heard that Tennessee crowd tonight at Neyland Stadium West chant how great it was to be a Tennessee Vol. And I hope you guys could hear that on television because it was awesome.
No, they didn't play any of that up tonight. They really didn't on the telecast. I think they're a little short-staffed on that telecast. And so, I mean, earlier, for instance, when the first interception of the game on Josh Dobbs, the Zap Reuter film had a better angle of Kennedy's assassination, B.O.B., than they had of that, okay? We saw nothing. If you were sitting behind the scoreboard in the stadium, you would have had a better angle than the TV viewer did on that play. So I'm really proud of the folks that made the trip. They announced the crowd at 40,000. B.O.B., if there were 40,000 in the stadium, how many fans would you say belong to the Tennessee Volunteers of the 40?
I think if, you know, you look at it objectively, it was about a 70 to 75, 25, 30 split. I don't remember how many seats that stadium has in it exactly. The only empty spot I saw was the upper corner of the stadium that's closest to Children's Hospital, and don't ask me directionally which one that is. But everything else was jam-packed by the end of the first quarter because that stadium's laid out so poorly and the concourses are so bad that it takes forever to get to your seat, particularly if you're sitting around a lot of Tennessee people. But, Tony, it's interesting you mentioned that the film quality. What I thought was really funny, and we never see this in Neyland Stadium, was the Vandy replay people showed T.K. Jr.'s interception and showed Randolph's interception over and over and over again to the point where it got the crowd into a frenzy. I mean, it was almost like being at a home game at times during that game. The only time Vandy had any momentum from a crowd standpoint was that first pass that Dawes threw that got picked. I mean, that was it. They had nothing. And so if that game gets played, you know, last year at Vanderbilt, Tennessee probably loses that game.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, here's the thing about T.K. Jr., why isn't he playing? The guy's got ball skills, man. That kid makes plays. Why is he not playing? Explain that to me.
Well, I don't know, Pino. I'd be curious to hear your thoughts. I'll give you my theory on it. I've watched him very closely when he is in the game. And as good as he is against the pass in coverage and ball hawking that way, I think he lacks some skill as far as bringing the lumber goes against the run. And I think that's why you've seen not as much of him as you've seen of those other guys in there. Because if you look, for example, at that touchdown that Vandy scored where they have the goal line series and Majit just made that and by the way, Majit played his – I don't know if the TV did him justice. He was Will Overstreet-esque, motor running nonstop all night tonight. It was ridiculous watching that guy play. But when he shot that gap on that goal line and had that running back dead in the backfield at the four-yard line and couldn't wrap up and make the tackle, T.K. Jr. kind of gave up on the play and kind of halfway hit the guy when he could have stopped him at the one-yard line. And so I wonder if they're concerned about his physicality from that safety position against the run, and maybe that's why he's not getting much playing time.
Well, he's certainly a playmaker, B.O.B. I think that sometimes – I know it's hard on staffs to – to not make practice extremely important, because that's, you know, that's the only way you can assure that you have good practices day in, day out. But I think sometimes maybe they ignore what people do on game day as opposed to what they do practice days.
Well, plenty of time for criticism during the week. Tonight, that's not what it's about. Matter of fact, guys, I was really impressed. I don't know about y'all. I was really impressed by the fact they actually put Dobbs under center tonight. And I don't care if it was a victory formation. If that's the only time he gets under center and we run that play every game, you'll hear no complaints out of me.
Good point.
I was thinking to myself, when was he under center? And that's why B.O.B. is an all-star. He's a caller all-star. I'm going to go back to Twitter here momentarily. I want to remind you what you're listening to as I get one more opportunity to do this.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get your host, Tony Basilio.
Balls win, they survive, they advance. Tennessee finishes off Vanderbilt today. Final score of 24-17. First bowl trip for the Vols since 2010. And Vanderbilt was a game opponent tonight, a team that we thought would I don't know what I thought. But, you know, I thought it would be a lot easier than it was. As it turns out, this was a rivalry day that, for the most part, across the country has held up everywhere but in the Civil War. We decided, Bino, that Sherman has invaded, and he's somewhere down around Stone Mountain, Bino. And it ain't looking too good for the home team. And Chemical Ali's telling everybody at Oklahoma State that it's going to be okay. Bino, for the most part across the board, though, this rivalry day has been riddled with dogfights across the board. We've seen dogfights across the country in these games, and close games, and games that have gone to the wire. And Tennessee, I give Vanderbilt a lot of credit. Vanderbilt stretched Tennessee tonight.
Yeah, Tennessee didn't play as well as I had hoped they would, but I really believe that Vanderbilt's defense played much better than they have at most points this season, too. I mean, with a higher level of intensity than what most people have seen from Vandy's defense, so give them credit. And Robinette's just a real, I mean, his numbers aren't great, but he's just a hard-nosed competitor. Smart kid,
well,
hard-nosed competitor.
Here's the problem with their head coach. He plays five quarterbacks, and he has a nice one from Maryville.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know about that goofball. And he set the tone early on in the season in doing that. I think they played four quarterbacks, rather, that first night out with my Temple Owls. 865-200-5402 is our number, 865-200-5402. I'm going to go to Twitter here where Mickey Shadow, a.k.a. Brocky, says, Nashville is a Tennessee town. Why are you all surprised? Volstorm says, your callers sound like scholars compared to some of the people that call in the Feinbaum. JM says, Josh says, I hate that I didn't give a shout-out to Bino. I enjoy his commentary on this and other shows. Please give my regards to Bino. Cam says, thanks for doing the fifth quarter all year. Tonight you're saving me from Feinbaum, Musburger, and Jesse Palmer. That's pretty well put. Just had a really, really great something or other from Jay Bird. Check us out, John. That's what Nick Saban really looks like before his hair club for men. He looks a little more like me. And I just retweeted that. James said, I think if we look at the baseball team and he's in year four and still nowhere close, and the football team is going to take the same amount of time. Is that true, Bino? Is it going to take the same amount of time to get up and running? I don't believe that.
Well, I'll say this, Tony. I said it earlier in the show. When you look at our offensive line problems, I think you have to have SEC caliber upper class linemen. The earliest that can happen is 2016. You know, we've got most of the guys that are playing this year, and I know a lot of them are playing out of position, but we've got three fourth-year juniors playing. They're not going to get a lot stronger in their fifth year on campus than they are on their fourth year on campus, nor are they going to get a whole lot better technique-wise. Now, I expect our young guys to do that, but we've seen how Robertson and Thomas have struggled this year as freshmen trying to play offensive line in this league, and you're going to bring in another batch next year. So I do think our offense is a couple of years away.
Tennessee's defense is another point Brocky made on Twitter earlier. You talk about adding those two defensive linemen for next year. We'll be spitting bullets at people out there, okay?
No question.
That is going to be a mean, angry, mad, purposeful bunch next year.
And if you defend and you play special teams,
you win in this league.
And you play, even if you're challenged offensively, if you're mistake-free, you can win a lot of football games, especially on this side of this league.
Absolutely.
Missouri was offensively challenged for most of the year. They'd find a play here, find a play there.
Connie says, I love how you could hear the Tennessee fans chant Eric Berry several times during the game, and the helmet stickers were fantastic. Amen, and we should all pray for Eric Berry. By the way, I want to say a special shout-out to all my friends up in La Follette tonight. I drove up there. It was a beautiful drive this afternoon. A great friend of mine, friend of the program as well, Vic King, who's just a wonderful, unbelievable contribution in that community. So many of his players, former players, turned out today for his viewing and funeral. And it was just a beautiful day. And saw Shelly and the family and just told them how much Vic meant Beano to not only me but to all of us. It's heartbreaking that cancer took him away from us so quickly. Hard to believe he's gone. I'm getting a little lightheaded just thinking about it. Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. And I hope and pray, we hope and pray that Eric Berry can get the treatment he needs and get back to living a fulfilling and long life.
Hey, real quick, Tommy.
Yes.
Hopefully it was a celebration today of a really good life. I know we're going to miss him, but Vic King did so many good things that we should celebrate that. And cancer's just an indiscriminate serial killer. I'm just absolutely there's one thing in life I hate.
Amen to that. Back to the phones we go. And Vic King could flat out recruit too. He'd like me saying that. That's what they said. Hey, if there's another kid in another county and he wanted him, there was no geographical restrictions. It was like Maryville football. Beano, now why you want to go there with your Oak Ridge love? Let's go back to the phones. I'm getting off topic here. Smartway Dalton Behring, fifth quarter fan reaction. I got to keep myself in line here every once in a while. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, I can hardly hear you. I need you off the...
Hang on 1 second.
Yeah, please get off your speakerphone. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, let me
you're fine. I'm here with you.
Is this better, guys?
A little better, yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I just wanted to mention something a lot of people don't know, too, is Missouri, and they're two deep, so that's 44 players. They got 30 upperclassmen. That's tough, especially when you're starting seven true freshmen at key positions. That kind of gives things a little perspective. I just wanted a couple of comments that Beano made I wanted to ask him about. One was that he hadn't seen, or fans may have not seen, improvement. I tell you, man, our special teams last year and the first third to half the season were pretty bad. And they got that nailed down pretty good. The other thing was he mentioned that, you know, Butch isn't, he's stubborn. There's no doubt about it. I think last week when he burned that last time out, I think he was just, that was out of frustration.
He was just red at that time.
His face gets red and the eyes start watering and, he was hot and he was like, you know, you already jobbed me out of one onside kick. By God, I'm going to call something, even if it's wrong. But, you mentioned that he hadn't been playing Kendrick and a couple of the other guys just out of pure stubbornness. There wasn't a reason. I'm just curious what you're basing that on. You had some inside information.
Lots. Actually, I've had a couple support people tell me that at practice, this happened at least twice. The offensive line coach, got frustrated and, really, upset with what was going on, with a couple players and was trying to get their attention. And one of them was a tackle, and he grabbed Kendrick at one point and said, hey, you come in here and you play. And Butch Jones walks over and says, no, I don't want him in there. You go out. And you go back in. And here's the thing. The only reason I bring that up is people want to blame the line coach for the play of the team.
Oh, I agree.
And if that was the case, I would let it stand on its own merits. But since it's not, I will clear the air for that man here because he deserves for people to know the truth. The truth is, those are not his choices who's playing. That's the truth.
Yeah, I get that. And let me tell you, Mahoney is almost exclusively recruiting all of the kids we have, you know, the commitments that we have and the other O-linemen that, you know, that we're recruiting. The guy's a great recruiter. He was good at Cincinnati. You know, it's just, I'd like to see what the coaches can do in a couple of years. And it's going to be tough next year on the offensive line. If people are expecting, you know, Jones and some of these other kids to just step in and you know, we're going to flip a switch and be better, they're going to be disappointing because it's going to be a struggle next year on offense, you know, at times. But the other thing is the improvement on the defense, especially rushing passer. I mean, that's night and day. And, of course, you know, you get a kid like Derek Barnett, which I don't even think the coaches – to predict that he was going to be the force and make the impact that he has. But anyway, good show, guys. Appreciate you staying on this late after the game.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you. And listen, I'm not trying to tell on anybody. I just want to tell the truth. People are going to say, how do you know that? I don't believe that. Fine. Don't believe it. You also didn't believe the stuff about Derek Dooley back in the day, and all that stuff came out. And these are the same people. At this point, I've got more moles who help me with information. I've got more moles than my 88-year-old pop at home in Pennsylvania, who I love dearly. And I'm moving in that direction, by the way, Bino, speaking of the moley look. And you and I have
there's not a coach in America that doesn't have a doghouse. The problem is when you got so few dogs. You know,
there's
only so many you can put in another lock.
Well, that's right. And it doesn't make any sense. To me, here's what doesn't make any sense. Why are you going to throw that kid in the doghouse so early and pronounce him guilty? And obviously, when he's played, your line's been better. That's all. And I'm not getting on the guy. I mean, Butch Jones can do whatever he wants to do. And I'm sure he'll go, I can't believe that SOB is saying that. Who told him that? He's going to go, who told him that? How did he find that out behind the scenes? Publicly, if he's asked about it, he'd say, well, I don't know what he's talking about. But the reason I bring that up is it's the media's job to tell the truth when people want to talk about firing Don Mahoney. It's not fair to him. It's not his call. It's not fair to him. First of all, there's really nothing there. Second of all, they missed with Blair. When I say there's nothing there, I'm talking about material-wise. Secondly, they missed with Blair. Now, everybody missed with Blair. Auburn wanted Blair.
Yeah.
A lot of teams wanted Blair. He was a miss. It's okay. It happens. The thing with Kendrick, I don't know what the deal is there, but there's a deal. There's a deal.
You're right. And even if let's take the doghouse part out of it, Tony. Even if you buy the part about we're going to put our best five linemen out there, regardless. We're putting our best five out there. You and I have talked about this before. if you're a basketball coach and your best five players are guards, you don't put them all out on the floor at the same time because you can't fill all five positions. And you can't fill all five offensive positions if you put a bunch of guards out there. You got to have some tackles.
It doesn't make any sense. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just doesn't make...
Yeah.
And it never did. But they're 6-6. But tonight was not... Tonight was tonight. And as B.O.B. said, hey, a win's a win's a win's a win's a win's a win's a win, and thank God for Vanderbilt.
Here's what, Tony, I'm looking for steps forward. Mm-hmm. We're not going to take a leap forward this year, but we have taken a step forward. And I'm willing to watch incremental positive momentum. That's mm-hmm. what I'm willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about Gary Pinkel before. He is looked at, now people are saying he's the best coach in the SEC East. His first 5 years at Missouri, he was 4-7, 5-7, 8-5, 5-6, and 7-5. He would have never gotten year five in today's world. Never made it to year five. When he slipped back from 8-5 to 5-6, they would have fired him.
For the Win reporting that Mississippi State's buses were in an accident on the way back to Starkville after the Egg Bowl loss. Nobody hurt, but some scrapes and a scary situation there. Sean Sinclair telling me that CBS Sports right now is projecting Notre Dame and Tennessee in Charlotte in the Belk Bowl. Please, God, let that happen. Please let that happen. That Golson guy that plays a quarterback for them is a human turnover. He is all Sarah Lee, okay? That guy turns it over more than Betty Crocker. That guy sucks. That was a 28-0 game today. And seriously, Notre Dame's team bus, speaking of buses, it wasn't even cooled off from getting to the stadium. Please let that happen. Please, please, please let that happen. I want to see Derek Barnett come off the edge on that guy. Please let that happen. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome. Yes, hello, you're on the air. When you hear that little clicking noise, that means it's you. Yes, I hear somebody there. I hear some rumbling. 5, 4, 3, you're gone. That's a shame. 865-200-5402. Hello and welcome.
What do you say, man?
Hey, hey, fabulous, Chris. Fabulous, fragulous.
What's going on tonight, Tony? Appreciate you and being over and Sean being in there. And Philly's hate for Vandy is so... I wonder if that goes all the way back to Roy Skinner or somebody. I can always count on Philly during Vandy week.
Yep. Philly showed some serious hate tonight.
Boys, I swear.
Oh, another interception! Sorry, Fab Five.
That's all right. That game tonight, that was torture.
Torture.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm dying, and they showed Butch making that motion. I thought, my God, he's digging my grave over there. I'm taking him in
It's beautiful.
Here's who I want to play in the ball game.
Go ahead.
I want to play the absolute worst team that makes the bowl this year.
That's Notre Dame or Penn State.
Because we need a win, because yep. if we don't, we'll have another losing season, guys. Because we'll be 6-7.
Mm-hmm.
We need a winning season.
Mm-hmm. You don't care at this point if it's...
the first time in the history of the program we've had five losing seasons in a row if you lose your bowl game.
You don't care if it's Temple at this point, do you, Fab Five Friday?
I wish they'd run Vandy back out there. I can tell you that right now. You know, I'm kind of like Beano and NU. We can call it incremental improvement. But there's a couple of things we have to do. And why the game tonight was kind of sobering for us is that I think we know now that Butch's system and his, we got the best coaching staff in America, staff. We know unless he bends a little bit on those things, we're not going to be what we need to be. And There's just no way we can be what we need to be.
Again, I have trouble believing that this is the correct system for the league, but, you know, I've seen Missouri make it work on this side, and I'm willing to wait until we've got enough offensive linemen to see if it'll work. But I do think that he's going to have to be more flexible than he is right now, because the system is certainly not infallible, as he said, and we definitely don't have the best coaching staff in America.
And about the sixth time you throw that little spring pass out there for minus yardage, you know, you got to try something just a little bit different. But I will say this about Missouri, guys. I believe they've beat the seven worst teams in the SEC. I don't believe they have played. The only team they've played that can play at all is probably Georgia on the East. And they didn't play any of the top five teams in the West. So they beat the five worst teams in the East and the two worst teams in the West. That's who they beat.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? You still have to beat them. And they won 10 straight road games.
Yep.
Which, you know what? Winning on the road in this league is no easy task. I don't care if you're going to Nashville. It is not easy to win on the road in this league.
No. You know, as bad as Vandy's numbers were this year, if you break it down in the East and the West, they averaged losing to teams in the East by 17 points a game. But they lost to their teams in the West by 44 points a game.
Oh, it's beautiful, Fab Five Freddy. It's a great number. So 17 points.
East versus East, they probably played us about like they played a lot of the Eastern teams.
So they lost by an average of 17 in the East.
Yeah, and 44,
and then 44 in the West. Wow.
I know you got a lot of callers, but looking forward to 2015, I looked it up a while ago. If the Raging Cajuns can win the opener in Lexington next year, the Blues got a chance of running that losing streak to 10, guys. Appreciate you being in there. See you.
Dina, what's he talking about, the Blue? What's that mean?
Kentucky. He absolutely despises Kentucky.
865-200-5402. All lines currently jammed. We're coming up on 3 hours here. Nick Marshall, 3rd and 5. You can't settle for a field goal here. You settle for a field goal, and you've done all this, and it's not even a touchdown game. You have got to score here. 3rd down and 5. And this is the problem with these spread offenses is you get in this position, and you have a touchdown. Thank God. Oh, and that Sims guy and Flippy Kiffy over there is texting his date for the later tonight saying, hey, honey, I don't know if I'm going to be able to meet you now, because Nick Saban ain't going to let him out of that complex, Bino. You imagine Nick Saban's rectum, Bino, will be Rust-Oleum red, and they will need some Bondo to put that thing back together tonight. At least Lane Kiffin's, because Nick Saban's going to kick a new hole in that thing. This is going to be unbelievable. How fun is this, seeing this happen, Bino?
It's really fun right now, Tony. I hope I'm not in for another Florida State moment here.
How sickening is Florida State, the way they just keep winning? I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that.
No, I mean, and I don't know how they've made me pull for some of the teams I've pulled for this year against them, because I used to like that program, but they've walked that top rope about as long as they're going to walk it, I believe.
Jimbo Fisher is he's a disgusting, disgusting human being. Texas Fan 11 with perhaps the tweet of the night talking about how everybody wanted Blair. He said, I wanted Blair, the one from the Facts of Life. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402, Blair on the Facts of Life. I think Lisa Welshell was her name, gets a vote. Hey, I love the plus-size women. 33-21 is the score. Auburn with the lead. Back to the phones we go. Let's grab another call. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Chief? How's it going?
Hey, how you doing, Chief?
It's Jack. What's up?
Hey, Jack, welcome.
Big win today. You know, it was ugly. There's some things that could have been done a lot better. But,
hey, we're going to bowl, you know. And what a Christmas present that would be to play Notre Dame in the Belk Bowl and beat them. That would be unreal. And that would be a great, great thing for in the off season for recruiting purposes, you know, going against them and beating them in a bowl game. What do you think about that?
What do you think, Bino?
Yeah, I mean, Jack, it's, you know, it takes our coaches off the road, but the fact that we're still in the public consciousness and we're in a bowl game has to help recruit.
And, I mean, tonight, I mean, you knew Vandy was going to play hard. I was telling everybody, Vandy thought that they were going to, you know, play us hard, and all my friends thought there was going to be a blowout. And you know Vandy was going to play hard. The seniors wanted to go out, you know, with a bang. You know, they wanted to beat Tennessee 3 years in a row. But, I mean, but the thing is, we just let them hang around, you know, have, you know, gain confidence. And, you know, Dobbs didn't have a good game. And that helped them a little bit, too. So, but all in all, we got the W. We got 6 wins. You know, Butch could have done a little bit better today managing the game. But with his play calls and everything, but hey, it's a win, and we don't get many of those these days in Tennessee, so we'll take it. But Butch is still on Jerry's still out on Butch, but you know he needs another year, and I think next year I don't agree with a couple of the callers that called in that said you know it's a 4-year process. I think it's year 3 you find out who he really is. 7-5, 8-4, you know, that's pretty good. If he goes there, I think if he has that type of season, I think you're heading the right direction. But, if he has another 6-6 and he's, you know, kind of leaking oil a little bit, then, we might need to start thinking about heading a different direction.
Yeah, I don't think any of the different direction stuff with this guy, I don't think it starts for at least 2 years from right now, if it's going to start at all. And, you know, the thing with Derek Dooley was, see, I knew internally that thing was disintegrating.
And they should have
made a change in year 2 with him. They should not have let him go to year 3.
After the Kentucky game, I mean, you should have
gone
before he got to the locker room.
Because his team had imploded. He had let them. This guy here has a professional organization. He's been professional. You know, he's done an excellent job. Behind the scenes of building a team and doing some things and installing his program, and it's just going to be a while. And the sad thing is that the previous coach literally left him with nothing on his offensive line. Now, if I were him, and I'm not an advice giver, I would take a couple of my scholarships this year, and I would go get 3 or 4 junior college offensive tackles and hopes 2 stick. That's what I would do. But I'm not, I don't live in that world, but that's what I would do. And I would hope 2 would stick.
Another thing is he needs to keep his composure on the sideline a little bit.
Well, yeah.
He shows himself a little bit too much. And, you know, doing that digging thing, you know, come on, man. We're barely beating Vanderbilt. We don't need to, celebrate and stuff like that. I mean, we just need to, you know, keep our composure and, you know, stick our head down and get the win. So, I mean, things like that, you can't do that against, like, Florida or, you know, teams like that, you know, get too emotional and expect your players to, you know, your players are watching you 24/7. You know, they're going to react like you're going to react. So, I don't know,
but you know the digging thing's kind of fun. I mean, the guy emotes and he shows emotion, and that's okay. Sure, let it go. You know, he's kind of like Nick Saban right now. He's cussing out Lane Kiffin again.
Yeah, and Lane Kiffin outcoached him when he played him in 2009.
Interesting. What a concept. But Nick Saban's got frosty red hair tonight somehow.
And I hope they lose by 25 points.
I hope you're right. Hey, thank you, my friend. Good talking to you. He had a fan there in the background, Bino. Nick Saban tonight's got Clairol bottle number 5, Bino, and it's not behooving him. He's got kind of that red tint to his hair tonight. as we get ready to go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. I want to remind you, Smartway and Dalton Behring helping to present tonight's program. Also want to say a special shout-out to U.S. Foods, and then we'll go back to our phones. If you're a Class A CDL driver and you'd like to be home every night, and that sounds like something worthwhile to strive for, well, U.S. Foods in our area seeking Class A CDL drivers for delivery positions right here in the Knoxville area. U.S. Foods, a leader in the food service industry, and a minimum of 1 year commercial driving experience is required, or 6 months food service or food and beverage delivery experience is required. U.S. Foods offering a competitive compensation and benefits package, including medical, dental, vision, pension, and 401k plans. Apply at usfoods.com. U.S. Foods is an equal opportunity employer. And Auburn tonight is an equal opportunity destroyer. And, Bino, are you shocked by the turnaround in this game?
Yeah, I am, Tony. I really thought that Alabama would lay the wood to Auburn tonight. That's what they did after the last time that Auburn beat them prior to last year. And I thought we were going to see the same thing. I really thought that Auburn's defense would struggle the way Alabama's has tonight.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402 is our numero uno. If you'd like to get in the hunt and in the mix with us tonight here on your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, let's grab another call tonight as Alabama facing another third down. Hello and welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, hey, who's us?
Hey, it's Thomas Hagan. Thanks for the shout-out.
Hey, Thomas.
Girl.
Sure.
And I rarely call, matter of fact, hardly ever, but I just want to say thank you for doing your show. Thank you, Bino. I'm enjoying listening to you guys.
I missed your call earlier.
That was me. But it's because I was listening through my app, and I was trying to tweet and all that good stuff.
You were multitasking, as we say.
Yes,
yeah, very good.
To, and I missed it. Anyway, love what y'all do. Everybody needs to settle down and realize I agree, it's very frustrating. However, you know, Butch is going to be Butch. They're going to be stubborn. They're doing their thing. Regardless, we're finally going bowling. Can everyone just have a good night?
I'm having a great night.
I know you are, and Bino, and I am too. So can everyone else join in? Go Vols.
Thank you, my friend. I hope.
We're bowling, baby.
We're bowling, baby. I want Alabama. No, I don't. I want Notre Dame. Bino, is that wrong of me to say I want Notre Dame and I want you to get on the ground?
No, not at all. Not at all.
He didn't get it.
For the reasons you gave.
He did not get that. I want you, Bino, they give him that spot? Are they giving him that mark, Bino? He did not get it.
What leg is this, Tony?
They marked that thing 6 inches forward and that referee's not even waiting.
No.
Bino, he was 6 inches short of the first down there.
Tony, wouldn't have mattered. They'd have rolled up a couple of links on the bottom of that chain and came out there and measured it if they had to. He's got that.
Yeah,
that's
rough
part.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's a good part. That's a good point. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. I'm really, really hating Alabama right now. I don't know if there's another team in sports I hate like them at this point in the game. They're just so machine-like. You knew they were going to put the ball in the end zone there. But you know what I see from Alabama? Their offense, or defense rather, can't stop Auburn, so it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's get in the hunt and in the mix with our next caller. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Yes, hey.
Hey, Tony, this is Keith. How you doing?
Hey, Keith, welcome.
Hey, I have not been listening to you guys consistently this evening, so you may have hit on this topic already.
No problem.
But there was a play down. We were on about the 2 or 3 yard line of Vanderbilt, and we ran a play going to the right side, handed off to Marlon Lane, number 75. One of our linemen, number 75, ended up in the end zone. And I don't remember specifically what the linebacker's number was for Vanderbilt. I think it was number 41. Anyway, he was lined up on our left side. The play is running to our right side. Number 75 ends up in the end zone. by himself. He didn't block anybody. And the linebacker runs past him. I mean, all the guy had to do was just either stick out his arms and push the guy or just take one step to his left, and he'd have been in the guy's way. Well, he didn't do anything. He just watched that linebacker run by him, plug the hole, and tackled Lane for no gain. I couldn't really hardly believe what I was seeing. So I guess my question, concern, whatever, is that coaching, or is that just lack of desire on the player's part to make a difference? I don't watch film. I don't pay a lot of attention to the O-line play during a game, but it's easy to see that the O-line repeatedly gets beat. And is that because of, I guess, behavior, if you will, such as, number 75 made on that play?
It's quickness. It's recognition.
Well, Tony, what you're saying may or may not be the case, but I'm telling you, the guy would have had to have been Helen Keller to have not seen that Vanderbilt player running toward him.
They don't.
And he just watched the guy run right by him.
Yeah, but
he did nothing.
It looks a lot easier than it is. These are skilled people. And in a lot of cases in Tennessee's on the offensive line, you have guys who are green. You have guys at this point who are banged up and green. And they're on fumes. And there was a lot of whiffing tonight in the interior of that offensive line. It happened tonight. There's no doubt about it. It happened.
One thing I haven't seen this year is a lot of, and forgive me for, I can't think of a better way to put it, but I haven't seen a lot of I don't give a damn out of this team. I've seen a lot to be criticized, but I haven't seen lack of effort. I've seen lack of recognition. I've seen confusion. And tonight, more times, Vandy brought so many people tonight, and for whatever reason, we had no answer for it.
Well, but Beano, on this particular play, if you've got a chance to watch the replay or whatever, you would probably see this. I didn't notice it so much as it was happening, but I was talking to somebody on the phone at the time, and they said, "Did you see that?" So I rewound it, and I watched it again. And that offensive lineman, when he took off, there was nobody in front of him blocked. So he ends up in the end zone, standing up. He looks to his left and starts to turn to his left, and he's facing that Vanderbilt linebacker coming straight at him, going from our left to right. And that linebacker, he had to see the guy coming. The guy was 3 or 4 yards away from him. And he just stood there and watched that guy run right by him, and the guy plugged the hole for no gain. If he had to put a block on the guy or just impeded his progress, forget about a block, just get in his way, Lane would have scored.
Keith, we're not going to subscribe to. I think these guys have given 1,000% effort, not 100% effort. If there's one unit on this team that could be criticized, it's the downfield blocking of the wide receivers. When Josh Dobbs is running with the football, since he's selling out, they should commit and sell out as well. But our offensive line, I've got no problem with their effort. They've tried. You just can't get blood from a stone. I hate to keep saying that, but it's true.
Well, to kind of follow up on what you're saying there, Tony, I just don't see much improvement between now and next year. Working with the same pieces, I don't care if the guys are in, I don't care if they've got another off season in the weight room. I don't really care, if they drink all those, those peanut butter milkshakes or whatever. If they can get as strong as they want to get, but if the ability isn't there, then we're looking at another pretty sad season of an offensive line. I just don't feel like it can change.
We shall see. The thing about this game, though, it isn't like basketball. There are no shortcuts. You don't just go out and add two pieces. And, this thing here, it takes forever to get up from it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, we're still on the uphill climb.
Sure we are. Absolutely.
Steve, I think Tony had, I think earlier in the show, the way that you improve your offensive line is you hope that Blair becomes a player and you play Kendrick at a tackle and you get everybody else back in position where they're supposed to be. And you will get improvement out of Robertson and Thomas. They're freshmen. You're going to get improvement out of them just out of strength. The rest of the guys, they're not going to prove a whole lot, but they need to be put in a position where they can play.
Well, I certainly am kind of confused on the Kendrick deal myself. I don't, you know, the times that he's been in there, it seems like he's done a pretty good job.
Agreed.
Hey, guys, it was good talking to you. And, Tony, I'm glad you got the show on.
Hey, thank you, Keith. Great hearing from you. 865-200-5402. Bino, that's a perfect example, that play right there, of why Auburn and Alabama is an unbelievable series. These two teams are fighting this thing like it's like life is on the line, life itself.
Yeah, and Tony, I don't know if I've been deprived of it or spared of it because you know Vandy's never been really good in my lifetime, but
we've been deprived.
Something I've never experienced as a Tennessee fan is one game. It basically lasts for 365 days.
We've been deprived. Now, here's the thing. How many places have it where it's that, on that level? I mean, look, I got a guy that lives in my neighborhood, Dean Vance. He's an Alabama guy. He talked about this game with you, just like you said. He'll talk about it in the middle of February.
Yeah.
Where are we to Auburn? I don't like Malzahn. I hear what you said about Malzahn there. Malzahn's no, we're taking them down this year. Blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
You're thinking about that now? Back to the phones we go.
You know, even Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Tony, who historically haven't been very good, it's the same way with them.
You know what I'll never understand about football? And probably never will. Nick Marshall is a guy that was in the secondary of Georgia a couple years ago, okay, in the secondary. How many other guys are there today that are that kind of athlete that will never get an opportunity to play quarterback that could?
Yeah.
That guy just threw a world-class pass for a slant for a first down on second down up the field into traffic. How many guys are there? I would submit to you there are tons of them. They are not afraid at Auburn to try different things. That guy's an innovator down there, man. You watch him, it drives Saban crazy because he can't make his wholesale changes. Saban's over there looking like an old relic tonight, trying to hang on. And this guy's blowing right down the field on him. Come on, convert here. Or hit a big pass. Not again. Not again. They didn't do it again. That did not happen. He caught the ball. God, it's unbelievable! He caught the damn ball! It's unbelievable, Andy Mack!
They better get a playoff.
That's good. Yeah, hurry up and get to the line. Hurry up, hurry, 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 hurry. Because I think he's out of bounds here, don't you, Bino?
No, He's in, and it's
a catch.
Yep,
wow.
It is a catch.
Let's go back to our phones. Hello and welcome.
Hello?
Hi. Who's that? Hello?
Tone?
Yeah, you're on. Go ahead.
Hey, Bron. It's Roberto.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
Well, you know, I was going to try to have a little bit more positive phone call than I did last week, and I'm going to be. But it's a great day when your two biggest rivals are getting it handed to them. I mean, look, I wasn't pulling for Florida State or Florida. I was basically pulling for natural disaster, hoping that stadium would fall in on itself. But with that said, I mean, a day where Florida loses and it looks like Alabama has nothing for Auburn tonight. I know that this game is close, but it just doesn't look like Alabama has anything for them. You agree?
No answers. Yeah, that's why I picked Auburn in this game.
You pick him straight up?
Absolutely. This guy's got kryptonite. This guy's got kryptonite for Nick Saban. Till Saban beats him, you got to prove it to me.
Well, that's Nick Saban's hair plugs are on point tonight. You
well, there you go. No question. And he's,
I mean,
he's got
all... Alabama. He's working on that Kiwi Black number two that Hart's so famous for. That's the next step.
Nah, but, it's Auburn red. It's kind of Auburn red tonight.
Kind of is. The only thing that tonight, I'm glad we made a bowl. We needed to make a bowl. And I'm kind of, wow, what a freaking catch, man. He took that from that Alabama player.